Amen. Well, if you would, let's go ahead and sing our congregational night. And I want you to turn to page 96. And if you know this psalm, I'd like for you to stand. If you know this psalm. Page 96. Huh? You don't stand right now. You will be standing here in a minute. But if you know this psalm, stand to your feet. 96. You heard it before? You heard it? No, wrong one. I never heard this song before. I was looking for a song to do with the church because we've been talking about the church triumphant this morning. I'd like for us to learn this one tonight, if you would. We'll sing it through one time while you're sitting down, and then we'll stand up, okay? And we'll sing through it again. What we're going to do, we'll sing verse 1, 2, and 3, and then go back to verse number 1, okay? The church is one foundation. And I might mess it up because, like I say, I just did learn this song. So. The church is one foundation. It is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is His new creation by water and the Word. From heaven He came. Turn to page 95 or 96, and we're going to stand and sing this song. We just now learned. Hopefully we can sing through it. And let's sing it. Pay close attention to the words, because they are some beautiful words about the church. And how many of you are thankful for the church Jesus Christ died for? And glad you mentioned you're thankful to be part of the church. Amen? So let's sing. The church is one foundation. The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord. She is His new creation by water and the Word. From heaven came and sought her to be His holy bride. With His own blood He bought her, and for her life He died. Elect from Good song, wasn't it? Really. So you may be seated this evening. All right. Do we have anybody that's participating in the scripture spotlight tonight? All right. Jason, you got some verses? All right. We're ready for this, buddy. I heard you had about 30 or 40. Is that right? Okay. Well, I mean, he grabbed up his Bible. He's looking over real quick. Make sure he gets them right. Right. Are you ready? Okay. Well, if you do have a verse tonight, I'd like to encourage you to come on up, and we'll share those tonight. Can I find my mic? There we go. All right, let's start here with Luke. Since you wrote a whole book of the Bible, I guess you ought to have some verses memorized, shouldn't you? Okay.
My name is Luke, and I'm going to be quoting John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
My name is Logan, and I'm going to attempt Psalms 30:4-5. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for night, but joy cometh in the morning.
Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever.
My name's Amber, and I'm going to do 2 Timothy 2:4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. I got zero. That he may please him who calleth him to be a soldier. And Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe it, to the Jews first, and also to the Greek.
Hey, y'all, I'm Krista. I'm going to do Colossians 3:2. Set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth.
Matthew 24:35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away.
This is Missy Ann. Say John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Connie, and I'm going to say Isaiah 14:27. For the Lord of the hosts has purposed, who can disannul it?
and he stretched out his hand, he will take it back.
I'm doing a...
Romans 5:16-19. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit.
I'm Adina, and I'll be doing Matthew 5:3-4. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted.
Yeah, Mike, and I'll do verse 5 from that. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
I'm Billy, and I'm going to do Proverbs 3:1-15. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days, long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shalt thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whomever the Lord loveth, he correcteth. Even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and anything thou canst desire is not to be compared to her.
Hi, y'all. My name is Jasmine, and I go to Colonial Baptist all the way over in Blue Ridge, and I didn't think I was going to get up here, but we're going through a series in Joshua over at my church, and my favorite verse, and I just thought I'd share it with y'all. It's Joshua 1:9. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Be of good courage and strong, for the Lord is with you wherever you may go.
All right. Give everybody a round of applause. I was going to do John 11:35, but after Billy done that, I decided not to. So, no. But I appreciate everyone up here. And Jason, you'll get him next week, okay? You got all right. Now, I know you don't realize
how
what this does for you, memorizing scripture. And getting it up and quoting in front of people and things. It's just really good. And I thank you for that. I'd like for maybe everybody to be up here next week. And it'd be great. We'll take the whole service for memorization. I think it'd be great and it'd be important. So try to remember that. I would say I had a thought there. Wouldn't it be sweet? Next month is love month here, family month. You know, we deal with the family all month long. I think it'd be neat if families would quote scripture together. We have each family come up, you know, like you guys. You can memorize a passage of scripture with your family during the week, and then you can up here on Sunday night and quote that. I think it'd be pretty neat. I saw, you know, families up here tonight. And so maybe something you could strive for. in next month, in February, as a family, husband and wife, as husband and wife and children, whatever do, but quote some scripture. And maybe, Doris, you can help Eddie memorize one, you know. So we could do that. I think that would be great. If you would, go ahead and turn your Bibles to Matthew tonight. Matthew chapter 16, and I'll finish up the message from this morning. I told as soon as I got home this evening, I said, "Morning, I really wanted to finish that message this morning." And she goes, "Oh, Kevin," she said, "you never get to finish it what you want to finish." But I want to finish it tonight. And so I'm just I want us to be thinking about it. And this week in our church, as we're celebrating 60 years this year as First Baptist Church being established, and just want us to I want to get back to the foundation, you know, where we ought to be. And I was talking to Billy this morning after church, and I said, you know, there was back in the 60s and 70s. There was a lot of churches being established, Bible-believing, preaching churches, and it was just like, it was amazing to see how they were growing and people being called into the ministry, as far as even preachers and missionaries, and they were sending people out all over, and it was just really the church being the church, and it was an amazing thing. And you know what? There's no reason why it shouldn't be like that today. And so we just got to get back on that foundational statement that was stated by Peter when he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus Christ said, "I will build my church." And so, but tonight, before we get into that, I want to sing a song. The Bible says in Romans chapter 14 and verse 11, it says, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." You know what? If we don't bow our knee here, if we don't confess Him here, there will be a day, and it will be too late, that we will confess Him as Lord. And I'm glad that I've decided to bow the knee, and you all have decided to bow the knee here. But there is going to be a day that everyone, I've read the end of the book, and we win, folks. Every knee is going to confess Him as Lord. And so listen to the words of this song, "Jesus, What a Mighty Name." Thank you. and others, Jeremiah's, and one of the prophets. He said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray tonight that you'll bless the reading of your word. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts. And Lord, I thank you for this church, dear God, that you have allowed us to be part of. What a privilege, what a joy to be able to be part of the church of God. Lord, we also thank you for being a part of the local church, dear Lord, that you have called us to, that called us to serve in and be part of what you're doing in this world. And Lord, we know you do your work through the local church. And God, we just thank you for the opportunity, dear God, to serve you, to see a reaping as we sow, that you will bless that with a reaping. And Lord, we just thank you for all that. And Lord, we're so thankful that we don't have the responsibility of building the church, making it happen. You said that you will build your church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And Lord, we ask you just to add the blessings of your reading of your word tonight. In Jesus' precious and wonderful name, amen. Well, this morning we talked about these verses, and I didn't get through my message like I wanted to, but we're going to get through it tonight, okay? So I'll just briefly hit the first two points, and then I will talk about the last two observations. And Lord willing, we'll get out of here before midnight tonight, okay? Don't anybody get mad and leave. We're just going to finish and have a good time studying God's Word. But in Matthew 16, we said this is one of the greatest passages in the Bible. If we are involved in ministry, if we're involved in the church in any way, we should come back to it time and time again. When we get here to these verses, because it situates our mind about the church, about what Jesus has promised to do on its behalf and through it. And so as we as Christians sometimes get weary in the fight, we know we're involved in the fight, right? We know that we are in a battle today. We know there's struggles that we do face. And by the way, we do get weary. But the Bible says, be ye not weary in well-doing. You know, it says that we ought to continue to press forward. And we'll come back to the places that we need to get what we need. It will invigorate us. It will refuel us the way we ought to. I think story in the Word of God where it talks about him feeding the thousands, and they said they took the food out and then they came back. They took it out, they came back, got more. They took it out, they came back, and they came back and got more. I think it's something that we ought to know, that we are always being sent out, but we must come back and get the food that we need for our own souls, and we'll find it in the Word of God. And I think when we look at this verse here, we see that this statement that Peter made, is this on, by the way? All right. I know I'm loud enough. I just want to make sure it's getting recorded. Testing 1, 2. Is it still off? All right. Well, it's just popped there like it's on. Testing 1, 2. Get thee out of here, Satan. Okay, all right. Be rough on me. So we look at these verses, like I said, we're talking about, you know, that it should fire us up. And the Bible says, Jesus Christ said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We know that there are pressures in this world, pressures that go against the God's children who believe God's word. And what are those pressures that we have that is against us? It's the gates of hell coming up against the church. But you know what? We know that there's going to be a crisis, and we know that we do live in a crisis in our culture today. that we, the things that we see and things that are being done so much in the name of the Lord that aren't anything to do with God. And we see wickedness in all kinds of different places. We see abortion. Millions and millions of babies have been murdered. We see things being celebrated and people having pride over their sin. The blush over sin in America has long been gone. But you know what? The gates of hell have come up and they will come up against the Word of God. But we can rest assured against the church, but we can rest assured that the gates of hell shall not prevail. They shall not overcome what God has set and what God has ordained and what God has set in motion. He says, I will build my church. In other words, it doesn't matter how bad our culture gets. And by the way, we ought to have an effect on our culture. And if we'll be part of His church, we will have an effect on our culture. But it doesn't matter how bad things get around us. The church is alive and well because Jesus Christ said, I will build my church. It is a church that is triumphant. It is not a weak church. It's not a struggling church. He is building His church. It will triumph. By the way, one day every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that He is Lord. And I want it, His church is triumphant. So we know that there are pressures against God's children who believe God's word. And the compromise of spiritual truth by religious establishment isolates and increases the pressure on Bible-believing churches. I'm thankful that we are celebrating 60 years here at First Baptist Church of being in existence in this area that we're planted in. And I want to tell you, we must understand there are plenty of pressures against people compromising truth around our world, around even our communities, taking things that aren't biblical and saying that we ought to accept these things. And it can put pressure on us. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to continue to stick with God's Word. We're going to continue to allow Christ to build His church and not allow these compromises to pressure us, to overcome us. Because Jesus Christ said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We're not going to celebrate things that are ungodly. We're not going to participate in things that go against God's Word. We're going to be a church that is on board with Jesus Christ and allowing Him to build the church. So I thank God for the local churches that He establishes in areas that they are planted in. You know what? It is not my church. It is not your church. It is Christ's church. If it's my church or if it's your church, we're going to have some major problems. But it is His church, and He will build His church. And He will build His church, even though we may be in the middle of crisis. You know what? Every time we review this passage of Scripture, it should invigorate us time after time. And as we look through this Scripture, I give you two things this morning. And I dealt with in detail on the first two observations that I see here in Mark chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. First of all, that the church is established on sound doctrine. On sound doctrine. Look at what he says there in those verses. He says that we see that it comes down to the point where it's asked, who do you say that I am? Talking to Peter. He said, who do you say? And it must come to that place in every one of our lives. Who do we say that Jesus Christ is? And when Peter answered with the correct answer, when he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, and Jesus Christ replied to him, answered him, and said, Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, upon the truth that Jesus Christ is God. Hey, He's more than a revolutionary. He's more than just a good teacher. He's more than a fiery preacher. He's more than the things that they listed that some people said He was. They said, you might have been John the Baptist. He might have been Elijah. He might have been Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, or one of the other prophets. He was more than just a prophet. Hey, they give Him some recognition. They ranked Him pretty high, but they did not rank Him high enough. And we cannot make that mistake when we consider who Jesus Christ is. Hey, he was the Son of God. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God, making himself equal with God. He was God. He was not just a good man, a good teacher. He was all those things. He was God wrapped in the flesh. He was 100% man, but he was also 100% God. He was the creator God. He's the one who has established everything, spoken into existence, everything that we see. He's the one who owns the verb created. He's the only one that was able to create. He is the one that was spoken of, that God can do the impossible. When it comes to, remember when over here, we read a little bit further in Matthew, where it talks about it's harder for a rich man, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the in heaven. And then the disciples said, well, then who must be saved? But they said, you know, with man, this is impossible. With God, it is possible. That's the God we're talking about today. I'm thankful that he crosses over those cultural lines and he comes in, he rescues us where we're at, and we can see truth. That's the God we serve. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So the church is established on sound doctrine. It's sound on the doctrine of Jesus Christ and who he was, but also, as we learn, it stands upon the apostles and the things that they taught us. And we go through and we read about the church, and when Paul tells us time and time again about the order of the church, what it should look like, we see books written, and upon these things we know how we got to operate and how we live, ought to live, and how we ought to live out our Christian life through the local church. Through the local church. And so it is founded upon sound doctrine. And by the way, doctrine is important. Doctrine is essential to any church. Doctrine will preserve the church. Doctrine does not confuse the church or distract the church. Sound doctrine ensures the church. Because Jesus Christ said, I will build my church. And you know what? If we're going to be part of his church, it's going to be founded upon sound doctrine. And then, secondly, we talked about Jesus is Lord over the church. You know what? As this local assembly, I am not the Lord over this church. You know, as you being a part of First Baptist Church, you're not the Lord of this church. You don't call the shots. You don't. It's not you. Jesus Christ is Lord of the church. He's the one who is directing. He's the one we're trying to please. He's the one that we're wanting to serve. We want to line up. We go through the pages of the Word of God, and we want to be that first century church in the 21st century. And if he is Lord of our church, our local church, I want to tell you, we can please him in our church. So he is Lord. I talked about noticing the ownership. He says, I will build my church. There is possession in these five words. It is his church. Let's make no mistake about it. I remember a lot of times I've been wanting to get these pins that says, I love my church. But, you know, I think I'm wrong. I know what we mean. I know what we're thinking when we do those same things. But I think a better way would be saying, I love the church of Jesus Christ. I think it would be more appropriate, and that would be more pleasing to God, because you know what? It is his church. I'm thankful to be part of it. I'm thankful to be on board with it. I'm thankful that for a gospel witness, and I'm thankful for people that love God and want to serve God together. And I talked about, you know what? To persecute the church is to persecute Jesus. That's what he said on the road to Paul, Saul on the road to Damascus. He says, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And we know that Saul was persecuting the church. Many churches have closed their doors and had Ichabod written across the door because they clung to these five words irresponsibly. Thirdly, we've seen that tonight, and I want to start here. Well, I guess I ain't starting here, but I'm going to slow down here, okay? And an observation that we see here is that Jesus ensures the church's future. Jesus ensures the church's future. Jesus says, I will build my church. Jesus is referring to the church as ecclesia, meaning a called out assembly or called out ones. Let's reflect triumphantly for a moment. 2,000 years later, this promise has never been invalid. 2,000 years later, this promise has never been invalid. This promise has never been broken. We are sitting here today after 60 years of First Baptist Church serving together because this promise has never been broken. Jesus said, I will build my church. Every word matters. You look at the word I. It says I. Jesus himself, not Peter, not Paul, not a gifted seminary professor. Jesus will build his church. We see the word will. It says, I will build my church. Not may, not might, not hope to, he will build. Look at the word build. It's not passive. There it is. I will build. We see the word my. This is a possession. Jesus never promised to build your Bible study, your youth group, your ministry, or your disciple group. He says, I will build my church. I will build these things. All these things have a right to exist and be blessed as long as we understand priority number one is serving Jesus in the Great Commission to build the church. We're getting on board with him. We're lining up with him. We're saying, Lord, we see what you're wanting to do and what you are doing in this world. And thank you for allowing us to get on board and be part of it. There is nothing greater that we could ever participate in. Nothing of any more importance than what God is doing here on earth. And he says, I will build my church. And we get in and we help with whatever he asks us to do in serving. You know, where is for the church born? You know, you've heard it. Well, I'm doing it for the church. I'm doing it for the church. I'm doing it for the church. Well, you know where that is born at? It's born right here in this passage of Scripture. There is passage of Scripture. If we have eyes to see in the New Testament, we see on page after page after page the church. We hear it with a loud roar. The church is loud roar, and that is what we are and what we want to be part of. Jesus says, I will build my church. My question is, how is he doing? How is he doing? What has taken place over 2,000 years? Well, the church has spread all over the world. I mean, there is a presence everywhere you go. The church is spread all over the world. It is important to note that when hearing and reading about the cultural crises that have seemed to render the church weak, Jesus didn't say, I will build your cultural Christianity. He said, I will build my church. I will build my church. Praise God, even though cultural Christianity is one on the rise, the church is flourishing. Look at what is going on in China, Africa, Latin America. The church is flourishing. Incredible things are happening. How many have seen some incredible things happening here in this local church? Praise God. We cannot take these five words in verse 18 irresponsibly. By clinging to the idea that Jesus will build our particular church here, no matter how passive we are, or lazy we are, or how prone to bitterness we are, or how many church fights we have. We can't cling to this irresponsibly. We have a responsibility in this. If we're going to cling to these words, when Jesus says, I will build my church. Many churches have closed their doors and had Ichabod written across the door because they cling to these five words irresponsibly. Think about what has happened in 2,000 years. Empires have risen and fallen. Great leaders have come and gone. Movements have started and wilted. Assaults, persecution, false doctrine. Think about all the things that could have once and for all finally destroyed the church. But it stands triumphantly fulfilling these five words throughout the ages. The church triumphant. Our job here at First Baptist Church is to acknowledge we are just normal folks saved by the grace of God, purchased by the blood of the Lamb. We have been set apart by Jesus to equip the church of the Lord, Jesus Christ. And we, in our own fallen, error-prone way, seek to do it again and again and again, day after day. We draw people who want to be part of the end and want to, with us, cling to this promise that he will build his church. It is not based on our ability, our personalities, but on the promise that he will build his church. Jesus ensures the church of the future, but also last observation that I get out of these verses is found in verse number 19. Jesus cares about the purity of the church. Jesus cares about the purity. I mean, how many of you would agree with that? How many of us know that Jesus cares about the purity of the church? It's important, and it's important that we accept this and think this through. It says in verse number 19, it says, "And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." This seems like an odd statement to be made in the context of building the church. What is going on here? Who is binding? Who is loosening? It is referring to sin here in verse 19. And if you turn over to chapter 18, you look at verses beginning with verse number 18. We see dealing with relationships, unforgiveness, bitterness, things. We see these verses, it sounds very similar here in verse 18. It says, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And this is used once again right after talking about the church. It says in verse 17, it says, "And if ye shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican." You go on down in verse 19 after it's talking about these things being bound and loosened. "Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name," what name is that? The Christ, the Son of the living God, "there I am in the midst of them." Then came Peter to him and said, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" Jesus saith unto him, "I say unto thee, until 70 times 7. I get it all out in a minute. "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take an account of the servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents." And we know the story behind this, how he was going to be sold off, him and his family, but he begged for mercy. The king showed him mercy, and we see that he did not show mercy to one of his fellow men, and end up at the end of it, he gets thrown back into prison. And we see in verse 35, it says, "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses." So we must understand, if we allow sin to harbor, to build, to grow in the church, it's going to hinder the church. And so Jesus is saying that we who serve him do not have the power to declare, but we do have the power to acknowledge. We acknowledge the binding and the loosening of sin based upon one's lack of repentance or one's expressed demonstrated repentance. And this is based upon the goodness of Christ, the practice of Christ in saving us from our sins. You know, it's as easy as repenting. If we're not what we ought to be, if we're not where we need to be, and we have sin in our life, you know what we do? We repent. We forsake it. And we can allow God to bless again. You know how every great revival's ever started in any community or any local church is people who started getting right with God. And every one that you read, you'll see there's people who went and got right with other people. You'll see that there's things that maybe they had between them and their pastor. They made some things right, and they got right with God. Repentance. But you might ask, why here? Why here? Why after he says, "I will build my church," this odd insertion about binding and loosing, about sin, about the church? Well, unrepentant sin, scandal sin, the televangelist that wants your money, the pastor who steps out into sin, the deacon who has a coarse tongue, the choir member who cheats in business, the Sunday school teacher or the church member who is unforgiving or bitter, are all a reproach to Christ. They are a reproach to the church. When sin takes place in the church, it blemishes the glory of God. Why are we doing what we're doing? For the glory of God. Why are you living? If you're a child of God, you've been saved. Where do you find the secret to harmony in life? Where do you find the secret to fulfillment in life? It's living for the glory of God. That's the only reason why you're left here. So we live for the glory of God as fathers and mothers, as children. We live for the glory of God as church members. We live for His glory. I want to tell you, His glory is beautiful. His glory is beautiful. The church is supposed to be a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing. We must seek to cultivate godly fellowship, godly accountability, and establish a community that reflects God's glory. Think about how many members we have. Think about how and you look around, and even tonight, we don't even have half of our members here. This morning, we have many members, but not all of them are here. You know, in any other human organization or body or human community, we would find that tragically problematic. Should we find that any less problematic when we are thinking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? The church is to be beautiful, exuberant, progressing, going forward. I mean, I don't know about you, but I like the thoughts of being around church people. I like the thoughts about being around people that want to serve the Lord. Is there something exciting about it? I like being, man, I can't wait to get to church, man. I can't wait to be there. I can't wait to see people involved. I can't wait to walk by classrooms of Sunday school teachers who have studied and they're teaching their children. I can't wait to hear somebody's good report of all the things that God's done and how He's blessed them, how they want to praise the Lord. Hey, I can't wait to get there and hear somebody give a testimony for God whenever you call and say, you know what, somebody got a testimony for God, somebody want to praise God for something, and it's like four or five people trying to be the first one to get up. They're excited about what God is doing. I want to tell you, I like being part of a church. I like being part of a church that has people that have to give you, go out into the community and they give you a report of telling people about Jesus Christ or where somehow they were encouraged. They try to help. I love being part of a church when someone is struggling and you know what? They call your pastor and say, Pastor, pray for me. I need prayer. I'm struggling here and there, but you know what? I know God's got this. Man, I just need some help. I need some prayer. I love being part of this community. Church. It's what God is doing. And Jesus Christ said, I will build my church. It's a beautiful thing. I mean, if you don't think it's beautiful, if you don't think it's exuberant, maybe it's because you haven't been pursuing it the way you ought to. The church is alive and well. It is triumphant. And I want to tell you, it has such an effect upon our living, our families, our community. Everything ought to proceed out of that church life. You know where we grow? We grow in our church life. We ought to be. We ought to be. The church, the local church, is a wonderful and it's a beautiful thing. And I think God knew what He was doing. Knew what He was doing. The church is beautiful. The church is beautiful and too beautiful and too consequential for us not to take seriously the purity of the church. The church was founded upon sound doctrine. The church is Jesus is Lord over the church. Jesus ensures the church's future, and Jesus cares about the purity. So in the way of conclusion, I just want to make a few remarks tonight and I'm done. But we have a glorious calling, wouldn't you agree? A glorious, glorious calling. Because we have a glorious Savior who has established a glorious entity, the church. Christ could have chosen to build anything under the sun and more. He could have chosen any of the masses of humanity and more, but He has chosen to build the church. He has chosen to use people like you and me that are here tonight. Never lose the majesty, the romance, and the splendor of the call. Never lose it. Oh, never lose it. You know, sometimes you gotta work on these things in life. Just like we have to work on, you know, I gotta work on this in my relationships with my wife and my children. I gotta keep those things fresh and anew. I like the roles that God has given me in life. I love my kids. I want to be excited about being a dad and a grandpa and a spiritual leader of my home. But you know what? We need to sharpen our love for what God loves. We need to sharpen the passion of our calling. And we need to never lose the excitement, the joy and the thrill of the call. The greatest thing that's ever been put on my life is a call from God. And the greatest thing that can ever be put on your life, from the youngest in here to the oldest, is a call of God on your life. You could be very successful and find all kinds of success and other things. Dylan, you can grow up and be a professional baseball player, make all kinds of money. You may be put in the Hall of Fame. But you know what? That's nothing compared to the call of God on your life. Hey, it can't compare. And you know what? I'm thankful that He is a God that is personally involved with every one of us. But I'm also thankful that He's a God that is personally involved with us corporately too, as a church body in Newcastle, Virginia. I think we just need a new, I know Eddie's probably the only one that's been here from the beginning. He's older than dirt. He's been here ever since he's 9 years old. But I say Eddie could probably remember the pioneering spirit, the launching out into the deep, the thrill of being part of this local church in this community, sharing the truth of the gospel. You've seen a lot of things in 60 years. I think it would be nice if we could get back to the beginning, a fresh and a new excitement, love for the local church. How many of you believe this is a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, and we stand for truth, and we got the right goals? Oh, we're not perfect. We fail. There's things in a lot more ways that we can be doing a lot more different things. But how many of you believe that God has called you to this place? Amen? So let's be thrilled at the call and know that this is what God would have us to do, and this is where God would have us to invest our lives. Never lose the majesty or the romance and splendor of the call. And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Let the church be the church. The church is alive and well. The church is triumphant. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you and praise you tonight for your goodness to us. Thank you for all that you've done. Lord, we just thank you for your blessings. Lord, we thank you for this precious place, dear God, that you have planted us. And Lord, I'm praying that in the place that you have planted us and the call that you have given us, that we will be faithful to what you'd have in us to do, that we may impact others for eternity. Dear God, that we may see the greater days and the best days of this local church in our lives ahead of us for your glory and for your honor. Lord, I pray that, Lord, there will be loyalty to Christ and loyalty to this called out assembly. But Lord, I pray that we'll always travel the path that is true. Not the path that is of least resistance, but the path that is right. Lord, I pray that we'll always point people to Jesus Christ, make no apologies. Make no apologies for the gospel. Make no apologies for preaching. Make no apologies, dear God, for proclaiming you. And Lord, we ask you to bless First Baptist Church. And Lord, I pray that you bless other Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Holy Ghost-filled, Lord, churches around our world. Lord, churches around our communities and states and America. Lord, I pray that you'll just give everybody a fresh breath as we're launching out in 2022. And Lord, may it be reports of great and mighty things come in all around us because people are trusting you to build the church. And we give you the praise and the glory for it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.